You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways, fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. I'm running cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm acting weirder than you think. Cause I'm
friends with the monster.
Very good Wednesday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. I was talking to somebody yesterday and about coming on the program, and they said, well, next week's Thanksgiving. I said, what? So that made me pull up my calendar. I said, is next week Thanksgiving? So I look, so I bust out Outlook, right? And I check it out. Because, come on, could that be right? So I get to November, I start counting Thursdays. One, two, three, boom. And lo and behold, next week's Thanksgiving. That's straight up winter, sports fans. Straight up winter. So that was kind of a surprised me relative to timing. So getting ready for Thanksgiving. The other thing that I want to talk about this month, there's two huge battles in the Marine Corps that lay claim to, well, there's more than two. Fallujah, I want to talk about that a little bit this month, and then also the Chosin Reservoir. So we'll see if we can find some people connected with both events to talk about them. I was with the division in 2004 when Fallujah started. I was there the whole year. And I was initially working in plans. But General Mattis really was his own planner. You know, he would, for the Mike Mahaney, who was a plans guy, I mean, Mattis would have him look at different variations of something. Should we go, you know, north, northeast, or north, northwest? What are the implications of that? But he had the scheme already. And it didn't come from him. I mean, he would, you know, with his, you know, guys that, you know, who he had worked with, had on his staff, you know, Joe Dunford on that staff as the chief of staff. John Kelly as the ADC, and there was big time brains in there. Colonel Toulon at the time, who would go on to become Lieutenant General Toulon. So there was big time smart guys in the division when General Mattis was there in 2004. And so I started out in plans before I became his staff side. And so you would OPT. You know, different nuanced things. One of them I'll remember is, should we set up a refugee camp outside Fallujah? You know, what happens to the people of Fallujah when we get after it? And, And so it was pretty interesting. And then, so yeah, that's what I did on a regular basis, OPT, and I hated that stuff. Oh my God. Some of the people that kind of came in those things would just say the craziest stuff and you'd sit there. And it was all part of the process, but come on, man. Come on, man. Anyway, so I want to talk about that. It was interesting because Fallujah gets going the first time. And, you know, you're sitting ready to pop that zit and you get told stop. We're in the middle of election. We cannot have this, okay? The video's too bad. Which was pretty amazing. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the political people, you're in the middle of this thing and you're getting ready to pop that zit. And the political people say, yeah, we can't have that while you're campaigning. Not going to work for us. Hit the pause button. I don't recall reading anything about that in World War II. Hey, what was it? 1943. Hit pause X. We got nothing going until the president gets reelected. Once the president gets reelected, it's all good. So, from the summer of 1943 to the election in the fall of 1943. And nothing happened. I don't recall that. But that's what happened. So then sit around it, with it surrounded forever, and then most of the civilians left. And then as we dropped leaflets saying that, hey, if you're still in that city, you will be considered a combatant. You ought to leave. You know, the Iraqis have an incredible way of getting out of the way. And they did it there. And so the city was largely empty, except for military-age males, who somehow or other had, after the fighting started, got trapped in the city. It was amazing. So I want to talk about that. And then, obviously, the Chosin Reservoir. You know, the more stories, you know, personal stories you hear about that, amazing. And one of the reminders yesterday was... was the passing of a Marine by the name of Hudner, retired as a captain in the Navy, but Medal of Honor recipient, passed away at the age of 93. He was a Corsair pilot, and his wingman had crashed. And again, if you've never heard the story, check it out. It's in Marine Corps Times. The story will still be there. Hudner. He crash lands his plane to rescue his wingman. I'd never heard of that in my life. And I do believe that the Chosin, the movement, the fighting around the Chosin Reservoir, and then the movement to the coast, might be the Marine Corps' finest hour, because my Musselman, you know, believes, you know, when we were talking about it, said it, he thought it was Guadalcanal. I'd be curious if you have any thoughts on the Marine Corps' finest hour in combat. And, I've read a ton about Iwo Jima. But I don't think Iwo Jima was ever in doubt. The question was, you know, how much blood would be spilled. The Chosin Reservoir, I mean, the division was in doubt. I mean, not in their minds, but, I mean, when you look at the numbers, holy smokes. Holy smokes. And so, so it's always crazy. To me, it's always extremely interesting to hear guys who fought there and their own personal accounts of what they experienced in their little, through their little portal of the battle. So we'll do a little bit of that here in the second half of the month. What we'll do today is, I've been promising, and somebody admonished me yesterday. Hey, you know, you told us that you were going to go through the summaries of these reports on the McCain and the Fitzgerald. I haven't read either one, and I'm probably not going to, but I will listen. I will listen to you. So would you mind fulfilling your promise? No, I won't. I won't mind fulfilling my promise. Thank you for the ash chewing. So we'll do that today. And then I think Phil Smith is going to join us, and we'll talk a little bit of current events as the Gunner gets Wednesday off. So if you haven't heard the McCain and the Fitzgerald if you haven't read the reports, then I think you'll find it incredibly, incredibly interesting. So sit back, relax, enjoy the next couple hours. We'll check the news of the day, Marine Corps news, and then DOD news. We'll check those headlines, and we'll take your thoughts and comments as well on this 15th day of November. So sit back, relax, enjoy the next 3 hours. Thanks for tuning us in here on Wednesday. And whatever you do, don't touch that dial. We make it official right now.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Mostly cloudy in 46 in Quantico. Sunny in 50 at Camp Lejeune. 1,070 in Texas, Granberry type. Son of 25 in Montana. Mostly cloudy in 57 in 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton warmed up. Mostly sunny in 53, Okinawa. Coolest temperature yet. Cloudy, dark, and 70. Raqqa. Getting colder. Clear, dark, and 67. Marja continues its cooling trend. Clear, dark, and 54 degrees. Cloudy in 56 at the home of All Marine Radio. A week and a day, a week and a wake up from Thanksgiving. Fifty-six degrees under partly cloudy sky. Looking for a high of 75 today. 76 tomorrow and 70 on Friday. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. On a Wednesday, hump day. Good morning to you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On Wednesday, hump day. We continue. Seems to me that the world does get crazier by the day. Honestly, you know, you have these forces unleashed on the planet that are always in opposition. And then you have things crop up out of the blue. You know, Saudi Arabia is behaving in an odd way. You know, they have a young prince that is going to ascend, and already has, and he's pulling the strings in Saudi Arabia. So you see some interesting things going on in Saudi Arabia. North Korea, always crazy. China now is looked at as a reasonable nation by most of the world. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So the Marine Corps. And this is one of the things that made me think of it, seeing this headline. There's a headline in Marine Corps Times, and it's been running the last 2 days. Retired U.S. general says nuclear launch order can be refused. A retired Air Force general told the Senate on Tuesday that an order from President Donald Trump or any of his successors to launch nuclear weapons can be refused by the top officer at the U.S. Strategic Command if the order is determined to be illegal. Retired United States Air Force General
Robert Keeler. So the U.S. Armed Forces are obligated to follow legal orders, not illegal ones. Keeler, who served as the head of Strategic Command from January of 2011 to November 2013, said the legal principles of military necessity, distinction, proportionality also apply to decisions about nuclear weapons use. The command would control nuclear forces in a war. Ben Cardin, senator from Maryland, the committee's top-ranking Democrat, asked Keeler if that means that Strategic Command can deny the president's order if it fails the test of proportionality and legality. Answer, yes. It would lead to a very difficult conversation. It might prompt a president to put a new general in charge to carry out the order. Bruce Blair, a former nuclear missile launch officer and co-founder of Global Zero, an international movement for the elimination of nuclear weapons, said that even if a four-star commander of nuclear forces believed a presidential launch order to be illegal, he could not stop it because the order goes to him and to launch crews in the field simultaneously. The commander could try to override the order by sending a launch termination order, Blair said, but it would be too late. The discussion went on. This is amazing. This discussion, right? Let me pull back the cover for a minute from this hearing, Senator Murphy of Connecticut says, who's a consistent, according to the article, vocal critic of the president. We are concerned that the president of the United States is so unstable, is so volatile, has a decision-making process that is quixotic, that he might order a nuclear weapon strike that is wildly out of step with U.S. national security interests. But if the president's order to fire nuclear weapons, even if preemptive, is determined to be sound and legal, there's no one who can stop him. Not the Congress, not his Secretary of Defense. And by design, not military officers who would be duty-bound to execute the order. That conversation took place. Can they stop? It's just, you see this stuff and you're just like, were we having that conversation? And we are. So, the top of the fold headline is a story about the Russian Ministry of Defense posts a video game screenshot as evidence of U.S. collusion with ISIS. Pretty interesting. The Russian Ministry of Defense posted a screenshot of a video game as irrefutable evidence of U.S. collusion with ISIS on social media Thursday. The screenshot was taken from a video game called AC-130 Gunship Simulator Special Ops Squadron. Several other pictures posted as evidence by the Russian MOD were taken from old screenshots of Iraqi and coalition forces destroying ISIS convoys in Fallujah. In June, Iraqi and coalition forces decimated a convoy of about 700 ISIS vehicles as the militants attempted to flee Fallujah. Fallujah is in Spelrog. The post by the Russian Ministry of Defense has since been taken down, but screenshots have been making the rounds on social media. What a bunch of clowns. Seriously. The Russians are clowns. And they've overplayed their hand, by the way. And so we'll see what happens. Next story in Marine Corps Times. ISIS snipers are using U.S. thermal devices. You knew that would happen. The question is, what took them so long? ISIS uploaded you can do it, Mac. ISIS uploaded its latest propaganda video on November 10th entitled Snipers of the South. 6-minute video that details ISIS sniper operations. They've been doing this for over a decade. Motivational stuff for their guys. In one scene, an ISIS fighter can be seen firing what appears to be a homemade, high-caliber anti-material gun. The video later focuses on an ISIS sniper and a spotter. The spotter is carrying a FLIR BHM thermal camera, and the shooter is operating a USM-4 with an unknown scope. And there's a couple pictures of it. The FLIR BHM retails for over $5,000. It was originally designed as a maritime thermal camera to help maritime vessels see debris, rocks, and other boats, and landmarks in pitch-black conditions. ISIS snipers are using the thermal camera as a spotting scope to track targets and to film propaganda shots. And again, the question is, what's taken them so long? Same thing with drones. The weaponization of drones, and you're seeing the Department of Homeland Security put out different alerts with that. You know, I think a lot of people, what's taken them so long? And I think most people read about the defection of the South Korean, of the North Korean soldier. Yeah, it took off running. Four North Korean soldiers fired about 40 rounds at a comrade fleeing into South Korea. They hit him 5 times. First time somebody's been shot in that area in 30 years. But he survived. Hit him 5 times. He survived. He'll live. Another interesting little tidbit, and this, I don't know what to say. I don't really know what to say when I read this, but and I talked to Barney Barnum about this. McCain, military personnel's 100-hour work weeks must stop. Quote. I look you in the eye and tell you a 100-hour work week is too long for a young member of our armed forces. They are working 100-hour work weeks. It has to stop. Otherwise, you'll see more tragedies such as took place with recent collisions. McCain described it as a military readiness crisis that has affected every branch of the service with ship collisions, air crashes, vehicle accidents, personnel shortages. Personnel shortages, I'm not sure about. But when you're deployed or in the field, 100-hour, there's nothing else to do. So 100-hour work weeks translates to 14 hours a day. Do the math. Okay? You don't have to. I'll do it for you. Okay? So, 14 times 7 equals 98 hours. Okay, so it's really 14.25 or something like that. Hold on, I'll get you the exact figure. 14.285. Okay, so 14 hours and 15 minutes a day. That still leaves you 9 hours and 45 minutes of your own. I think Senator McCain, without the footnotes, when you're deployed, when you're at sea, it's what you do. You work. You do that relatively short period of time. Then you come home and you go back to kind of normal work days, 40-hour work week, just like everybody else. To the extent that crews are short, that is a problem. Okay, that is a problem. But working those hours is not the issue. That is not the issue. And he's misfocused on it. So, again, personnel shortage, yes. 100-hour work week, no. It's what you do when you go to sea. Again, what else are you going to do? What are you going to do, work 8 hours? And have 16 hours off on a ship? Nobody needs that, trust me. So Senator McCain focused on the wrong thing. Something's got to change. He said, I don't like looking at those mothers whose children's death could have been prevented. This is a serious issue. It's pretty obvious, according to the Chief of Naval Operations, that this could have been prevented. And Congress is also complicit in its almost criminal behavior. You know, I guess it's bothersome to me to read Senator McCain say this stuff. Yet sequestration has ruled the day. The Republican Party was king of that under Barack Obama. The burn it down. So it's like, I don't follow him close enough, but he seems on a regular basis to speak out of both sides of his mouth. And I get confused. And I would tell you, McCain pointed to the shortage of pilots, noting that it will be a crisis. Quote, I want a new look at this whole issue, he said. If I had a priority, I would address that one first. Are you kidding me? We have ships crashing into each other. We might want to unscrew that one first. So he used the nomination process and the advise and consent role of the Senate as a forum to go ahead and make these comments. But I think, you know, the 100-hour work week, if you footnote it, at sea, right, while deployed, that's normal and reasonable. And so, again, it's a question of what's your priority for us, Senator? And then for leaders, they have to prioritize it themselves. Well, sir, look, in the time left that we have for training, right, we can go through the sexual assault, sexual harassment package, or we can finish out our quals. Ooh, geez, I can't go to sea without those sexual assaults. And that's the era that you live in when you get down to that. Now, again, I'm not woman-hating. I'm not sexual, none of it. But, again, somebody's got to prioritize things for people, right? You have a module that you can do at sea. What you need to do is get ready to go to sea, be able to drive the ship, be able to do underway replenishment, be able to refuel at sea. All the things that get people killed, be good at that. General Mattis used to call it brilliant in the basics. I think Senator McCain, I think it's time for him to go. Honestly, I just don't think that, I mean, he's obviously, he's been, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about Senator McCain. You know, I got it. He was a prisoner of war. He was a prisoner of war. But look at the shape. Look at the Department of Defense. It's not in great shape right now. And he is the chair of the Senate Armed Service Committee. And he has to own some of that. Well, he has to own a lot of it. So, John McCain, I think it's time for him to go. Hey, invoke my age limit. Senator, you're out. And the Space Corps is out in the House version of the defense policy bill. So $700 billion defense authorization plan for fiscal 2018 that rejects a proposed military service focused on space. Yeah, that would be an interesting group of dudes, right? Who are those guys? Those are the space cadets. In a story that's made big headlines, the Pentagon agreed to pay for a soldier's gender transition surgery. An infantry soldier identifying as a woman was to undergo surgery on Tuesday. Now, just so you know, this person's obviously been on active duty for a long time because the road to this is years in the making. NBC reports that this infantryman received the combat infantry badge during Operation Anaconda in Afghanistan in 2003. And so this is years in the making. I mean, this person's like, what, over halfway through the pipeline of doing this, which is years. So again, my position, I think, you know, in fact, I was just talking about this the other night with somebody. You know, they had the same opinion as me. Hey, transgender people, it'd be amusing to have them around. Come on. It would be a pretty interesting discussion. But they've got to be widgets. They've got to be fully deployable. They've got to pass the same tests as everybody else. And like diabetics, if they require unique medical treatment, I'm sorry. We'd like to include diabetics. We'd like to include people with asthma. You know, we'd like to make it so that everybody can come and play. But guess what? It doesn't work like that. It can't work like that. It can't ever work like that. You got to be full up round. You got to be a widget. If you can't be a widget, we don't care who you are. Non-widget, you got to go. And so again, I won't beat that horse. It's been beat dead. So there's no editorial. We don't care what your sexual preference is. We're beyond that. Okay, just be able to show up to work and do your job well. All right, that is a look at the headlines of Marine Corps Times. We'll take a break, come back. We'll take headlines on the early bird as we continue here, looking at the news. And again, it's just a lot of bad news. All right. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the stock community should be aware of.
The Global Stock Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
On the West Coast. Good morning to you. Early bird headlines. I'm not sure how this one doesn't make it isn't the top one, but China has agreed to send an envoy to North Korea in the wake of the president's trip and meeting with President Xi. So that's not the top story in the early bird. So I thought I'd mention that. The other story that from yesterday that probably merits a follow up is the Army reacted to statements John McCain said yesterday, and the origin is of McCain's comments was a USA Today story, and the Army pushed back yesterday and said they're not lowering. And John Ubaldi and I talked about it. They're not, as a service, lowering its standards to allow more recruits with histories of self-mutilation, bipolar disorder, and other issues. They recently updated its accessions policy to allow multiple organizations to review and approve recruiting waivers, said Lieutenant General Thomas Siemens, the Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel. The service did not, as USA reported, lift any outright barriers to service, according to the statement. Recent reports that the Army has changed medical entrance standards for those with mental health issues are inaccurate, he wrote. The Army has made no such policy change and follows the accession standards described by the Department of Defense. Yeah, and the things they describe. past behavioral issues, including cutting, bipolar disorder, and depression, as well as drug and alcohol abuse, generally prevent someone from enlisting or earning a commission. However, the Army will grant waivers in some cases. Until recently, all waivers needed to be approved by the Department of the Army headquarters, Siemens wrote. The only recent change to policy is now U.S. Recruiting Command may make decisions on them, or a state's adjutant general in the case of the National Guard. Unfortunately, this simple administrative change has been substantially misinterpreted. Anyway, it's important to note that the conditions themselves have been unfairly characterized, Lieutenant General Siemens stated. For example, a child who received behavioral counseling at the age of 10 would be forever banned from military service were it not for the ability to make a waiver request. We're not prepared to close the doors on such individuals who are otherwise medically, mentally, and physically qualified for military service. We think this is the right thing for our Army and the selfless young men and women who wish to serve. So, Army pushes back. So, anyway, there's another piece of that story in terms of lower mental health categories. Before I go too far, this is from Ohio Man. You need to read Devotion. And there's a hyperlink to Devotion. If I recall, Devotion is the story of this event, Medal of Honor event. Let me go ahead and there it is. Devotion, the epic story of heroism, friendship, and sacrifice. So it's a story of the relationship between Lieutenant J.G. Pudner and Ensign Jesse Brown, the first black naval aviator. And so the story ultimately ends in Brown is shot down. Pudner attempts to, well, he crash lands his Corsair, gets out, tries to extract Brown from the aircraft. He can't. Brown dies there, and then Hudner's rescued by some kind of helicopter. So, there you have it. So, Ohio Man writes this. You need to read Devotion. While it ends with the incident on the mountain, of course, the book documents Jesse's challenges to get his wings, blend into the fleet, etc. What stands out most in my mind is the prejudice that he and his squadron faced as they traveled around the country. Hotels and restaurants refusing to serve Jesse in front of his squadron mates. The CO and XO had their hands full keeping the squadron from trashing the joints. I will emphasize that these incidents took place in places like New York and California. I get pretty pissed when progressives demean the South as though it's the only place where prejudice existed or exists. Our true history shows otherwise. And then he said he's going to send me a copy of the book because he likes All Marine Radio. All right, I like that. No, thank you. The Ohio Man's a pretty well-read guy. My dad had similar experiences, but they were in the South. But I absolutely agree. The prejudice in the nation knows no geographical boundary. Okay. But my dad, he was a manager in baseball. He was minor league manager in the 60s. And so, I remember him telling stories. Reggie Jackson, who would go on to a very famous career with the Oakland A's, the Baltimore Orioles for a short period of time, and then the New York Yankees. Reggie Jackson grew up in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. Not Philadelphia, I can't remember what city, but in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. He goes to school at Arizona State, and he's a rock star. He's a two-sport you know, athlete at Arizona State. So I don't know how much prejudice Reggie Jackson experienced because he's a gifted athlete from the time he was a kid. I'm sure he experienced some, but I don't know that it was on a par with what he would experience when he went to play for the Birmingham A's in 1965 and so in 1967. So they're bombing through the South in the middle of the civil rights thing, right? So they get off a bus, I want to say someplace in Georgia, going from Birmingham to Macon, you know, to play a series against the Macon team. And they get off in a diner. No, I want to say they were going to North Carolina, maybe. Anyway, they're traveling through that part of the South. You know, it's 11 o'clock at night. They get off to get something to eat after a ball game. And the cook comes out with his, you know, his hat on, his white T-shirt and his white apron. And he's got a spatula in his hand and a cigarette in his mouth. And he says, who's in charge? And all these players. Now, they have, you know, Reggie Jackson wasn't the only black player on that team. They're probably between black players and Latin players. They're, I don't know, half dozen players. And the cook walks out, and he points his spatula, and he says, who's in charge? And my dad said, I am. And now my dad, born and raised in Sacramento, California, he says, we'll serve everybody, but, and he uses the N-words, they need to get out of here. I'll make them food, and they can eat on the bus. And Reggie Jackson talked about this in his Hall of Fame speech, and invited my dad to go. And he said, my dad looked at him and said, you'll either serve us all, or you won't serve anybody. Now, that's a lot of money for a diner, right? 11 o'clock. You know, I don't know, 35 guys or so. And the guy looks at him and says, then get out. And Reggie Jackson talked about, you know, everybody was hungry. Everybody wanted to eat. It wouldn't have been the first time that he'd eaten on the bus. But he said, I'll never forget that somebody, you know, stood up for me. And so this stuff went on, you know, part of our history. Oh, maybe we should take that down too. Yeah, my bad. Anyway, so the book is called Devotion. So there you have it, recommended from Ohio Man. Back to the early bird. Raytheon, Saudi-based Patriot missiles have intercepted over 100 tactical ballistic missiles since 2015. What? This is from Dubai, UAE. Patriot batteries owned by Arab partners in the Middle East have intercepted more than 100 tactical ballistic missiles launched from Yemen since the Saudi-led war against Iran-backed Houthis began in 2015, according to the U.S. prime contractor Raytheon. The number, which appears on the Raytheon website, is much larger than publicly available data from think tanks, the Saudi government, or the other eight Middle East and African nations fighting in the Saudi-led coalition against the Iranian-backed militias loyal to former Yemeni President al-Abdullah Saleh. In a November 15th interview, Ricky Ellison, chairman and founder of the Alexandria, Virginia-based Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, not only confirmed Raytheon's 100-plus figure, but insisted it was a conservative count. Between the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the UAE, there have been over 150 intercepts of Yemen-launched missiles. A U.S. source clarified that all of the intercepts took place in the skies of Saudi Arabia or in Yemen, where UAE defenders, forward-deployed Patriot PAC-3 batteries, are stationed. Arab coalition forces have publicly acknowledged just a few such successful intercepts over Yemen. The last one of record was June of 2016, when rebels in the country's south launched east of the capital city of Sana'a. How about that? Yeah, that's number one story. Number two, U.S. House calls military's roles in Yemen's civil war unauthorized. interesting because the both the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Secretary of Defense disagree with this. The U.S. House unanimously passed a non-binding resolution on Monday asserting U.S. military assistance to the Saudi-led coalition fighting Yemeni Shiite rebels is not covered by previous war authorization. The measure passed 366 to 30. Well, that's not unanimous. Reflects a bipartisan compromise with lawmakers who had sought a vote to withdraw U.S. military support for Saudi involvement in the Yemeni war. So, the next step is you're going to see the chairman and the Secretary of Defense back on Capitol Hill discussing American involvement and the pretense for that. And I think if you recall, one of the things that Secretary Mattis said the last time he testified, and it was when McCain wirebrushed he and the chairman, General Dunford, for not communicating enough with the Senate Armed Service Committee. Which is odd because, you know what, that's something that both those guys take pretty seriously. So I don't know what's going on there. Again, McCain, Mattis and Dunford, straight shooters, you know, what are they trying to do, pull something over on the Senate Armed Service Committee? Certainly not their style. They take that their advise role too importantly to be doing stuff like that. So I don't really understand. You know, things that you see and you don't understand, chalk that one up to that. So yeah, more on that. I don't rightly understand that. BuzzFeed, which you rarely see, kind of interesting. BuzzFeed, which you rarely see in the morning briefing. You see it on occasion, but not often. Secret finding, 60 Russian payments to, quote, to finance election campaign of 2016. The FBI is scrutinizing more than 60 money transfers sent by Russian Foreign Ministry to its embassies across the globe, most of them bearing a note that said the money was used to, quote, finance election campaign of 2016. A spokesperson for the Russian government said the money paid for overseas voting in its parliamentary election. Interesting. Peeling back the layers of the onion on how the Russians affect. And again, do they do this in the United States? Yeah. Do they do it around the world? Yeah. And I mean, can you imagine the bonanza? What you couldn't do before, you can now do. You don't have to have agents doing things. You simply have hackers in Russia working around the clock, attempting to access. I mean, the Chinese have stolen so much of our military technology just by hacking it. Yeah, stuff they could have never gotten spies into to steal things. Yada, yada, yada. We've given it to them by, you know, the way we're connected on the Internet. Infiltrate passwords, infiltrate, unlock, steal, and then gut. Yeah. We ought to probably partner with the Chinese. I mean, just get it over with. Come on. Next story is the Pentagon okay surgery for transgender soldier at a military hospital. And again, the study that's still underway by the DOD is due after the first of the year, sometime in the early part of 2018. So that still is ongoing. And again, just for me, this person, the surgery piece, I want to say is three quarters of the way through the transgender timeline that I remember looking at. The first is, you know, you tell close friends and some family members what you're about to do. The second part is you begin to live that role in your normal life. And you, while you're getting psychological counseling, yada, yada, yada. So all of that, you know, happens well before any type of physical surgery happens. And it years in the making. Years in the making. So you live like that. And then there's, you know, doctors and psychologists have to get together and say that this person is well adjusted to this, blah, 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 and is suitable for it. But so I think unfair if somebody has done that under one set of rules to then say, sorry, you can't do that. And again, I think that's just right is right. I think the Pentagon did the right thing. Kind of an early, and the fifth story in the top five of the early bird today is a story about the president's recent visit. South China Sea Code of Conduct talks to help stabilize the region, according to China's premier. China's agreement to begin discussions with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations on the fine print of a code of conduct framework for the disputed South China Sea will be a stabilizer for the region. Chinese Premier Li Qiang said, you know, what's amazing is the Chinese go and they do something illegal. It creates a whole lot of hate and discontent, right? And then they say, okay, let's sit down and let's create a code of conduct that goes with our occupation, our illegal occupation of these islands. And I think what you see is a prototype for Chinese actions in the East China Sea relative to Japan and the contested islands that Japan and China go back and forth on. One, occupy them. Only chumps wait for permission. So, occupy the islands. Two, fortify the islands. What are the Japanese going to do about it? The Japanese are going to do about as much as the Filipinos did. And the Americans, you know, will do what they do, which is wring their hands. And that will be it. And we'll establish the inner belt that we've been looking to establish for a long time. So the article goes on. And it's in the South China Morning Post. China's greatest hope is for peace and stability in the South China Sea. Right. Right after we fortified the islands. Li addressing leaders of the ASEAN bloc. ASEAN bloc. During a summit in the Philippines capital in Manila on Monday, said there was a consensus on moving forward and to try to peacefully resolve the thorny issues. Quote, we hope the talks on the code of conduct will bolster mutual understanding and trust. We will strive under the agreement to reach a consensus on achieving early implementation of a code of conduct. Hilarious, right? The framework seeks to advance a 2002 declaration of conduct of parties in the South China Sea, which has mostly been ignored by claimant states, particularly China, which has built seven man-made islands in disputed waters, three of which are equipped with runways, surface-to-air missiles, and radars. Hello. All parties to the framework is only an outline for how the code will be established. We should call this the pirate code, or how to steal stuff and then make it look legitimate. Now, you know what? And you know who's the king of it? The Russians are the king of it. Yeah, they do it all the time. Create a crisis, right? Then you go in and solve the crisis through military action. And then you say, well, let's deal diplomatically now that we have this thing kind of settled. Let's talk about how we're going to get along. And you're standing there scratching your head going, what? Interesting email, though. Mac, don't you think China has a legitimate case to occupy these islands as a strong nation in order to set up an exterior perimeter for their own security? I guess I'd have to think about that. I mean, does the United States have the right to occupy islands in the Eastern Pacific off the west coast of the United States to provide for its own security. Do we have that right? Well, the United States has, what do we have? We had the Monroe Doctrine that said no European powers in on the American continents, both north and south. That was our doctrine, right? Yeah, you guys can't come here. So, I mean, I think we've, in our history, we've done similar things. But I think it's different if it belongs historically to somebody else and then you take it. For instance, pick a country. Yeah, we decide that Australia is strategic to us and we say, yeah, I think Australia belongs to us now. Now, you might say, oh, that's kind of absurd, Mac. All right, let's take empty islands that belong to Australia and have belonged to Australia forever. And the United States lays claim to them because of our desire. I mean, that would be the same thing. That would be the same thing. So, again, China and then the hammer, though, relative to this and nations is China will go ahead and... use economic blackmail, right? So you're Australia, you're the Philippines. China's a huge trading partner. It's a huge, if you shut down the Chinese market to your manufacturers, do you kill them? Do you create unemployment in your own country? Do you do that at the peril of your own nation? So then you have the economic blackmail piece. Sorry, we won't be doing business together. Yeah. So interesting. And then, the last story in the early bird is Donald Trump's early summit exit cast doubt over U.S. ties to Asia. Now, it's kind of interesting because the president just spent almost 2 weeks in Asia. The U.S. president does a sudden about turn and heads home, leaving a question mark over his attendance at future regional meetings, analyst says. Analyst, singular. Trump had been expected wrap up his marathon 12-day regional tour by attending the main session of the East Asia Summit in Manila on Tuesday, a gathering that was dominated by discussions of North Korean trade. But Trump left for home from the Philippines after a lunch with other state leaders because meetings were running about 2 hours late. The U.S. president said on Air Force One that he had delivered his prepared remarks during the lunch instead of the summit meeting. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson would attend the main session in his place, senior White House official said. Trump's absence marked a stark contrast to previous U.S. administration of Barack Obama, which often assured its allies of its commitment to the region. Yeah, I think somebody might be reading a little bit much into that. Right? And again, what I would tell you is what didn't happen as he went around the Pacific. You know, again, what did the president of the Philippines called Donald Trump? Didn't he call him a son of a bitch a year ago? Yeah, he called him a son of a bitch a year ago. You didn't read any of that. There were no blow-ups in China. There were no blow-ups in the Philippines. There were no blow-ups in South Korea. So I think by and large, given the state of affairs in the Western Pacific, not a bad trip. Not a bad trip. And I guess we'll see what happens down the road, but I don't know. I think to the editors of the Early Bird, bad call, bros. Bad call. Some other news that you should know about. Yeah, the story about the Raytheon story about Saudi Arabia and shooting down 150 missiles, that's pretty amazing. You know, we just read about one last week that was fired from Yemen into Saudi Arabia that was headed for the airport that was shot down. Other than that, I don't recall, you know, reading very many articles, if any, about the Saudis shooting down missiles. There's an interesting story kind of going around and on Fox, and then we'll get to the McCain and Fitzgerald stuff. The story on Fox is there's a Marine who lost a camera. I don't know where the camera's been all these years. Oh, here it goes. Matt Walker found Zelman's smashed Nokia camera while working on a landscaping job in Northwest Washington. The memory card containing the photos was not damaged. I've never been in the military, but by the photos I can feel what they were going through and why it makes it so important to give this back to him. Walker has had no luck finding Zelman over the years. I've contacted recruiters. I've contacted Marine buddies trying to figure out how to get this back to him. Nothing, Walker told the station. He contacted Fox 5 for help in locating the Marine after watching the station's coverage of Veterans Day and the Marine Corps' 242nd birthday. Walker told the station that if the Marine is found, he will tell them, thank you for your service. Here's your card. I kept it safe for you. And so the day after the story aired, Ben Zelman was found. Zelman told a Fox 5 reporter that his computer and camera were stolen from his home and he never thought he'd see the photos again, especially after all this time. The guy who found them's name is Matt Walker. Pretty cool story. And then there's a picture of he's a Marine. It looks like he's inside of an LAV. LAV or an Amtrak, one of the two. And so, cool story from this month that we celebrate Veterans Day. And then there's one more story that caught my eye is something that I would pass along There's an article in Military Times that talks about preserving the past, 9 tips in obtaining missing military records and awards for you or a loved one. Okay. Now, a lot of people know about the storage of military records, that a lot of records were burned. I want to say they were located in Kansas City in a huge fire. Okay. I'll just read a little bit. I'll just read a little bit of this to you. But again, the article appears in Military Times. Preserving the Past, 9 Tips on Obtaining Missing Military Records and Awards for Your Loved One. Of the 16 million Americans who served in World War II, it's expected that about 500,000 will be alive by the end of 2017. That's still a big number. Many veterans of this and other conflicts will take with them stories of their service that can't be replaced. Some will have earned commendations they mentioned only in passing or ignored out of modesty or locked away alongside painful memories. Family members who want to learn more about their relative service, even those in service themselves, may have limited knowledge when it comes to navigating an archive process that, with a bit of persistence, can provide more than just a few dates and places. Military Times has sought advice from the National Personal Record Center, as well as in-house expert Doug Sterner, who's the curator of the Military Times Hall of Valor, to provide some basic steps on the path of piecing together somebody's military history. Number one, first things first. Veterans or next of kin seeking records can visit the National Archives website to learn the basics. Many requests can be filed electronically be sure to have a Social Security number, a service number, dates of service, and other basic information at the ready. So, there's one. Two, what will I get? More than half of the 1.2 million military records requested by NPRC involve separation documents, DD-214s, and older equivalents. Right, that is the printout you get that tells this is what this guy did. These are the awards he or she rates. Because these documents are key to receiving various benefits, they are prioritized by the center. Officials said that nearly 94% of these requests that didn't involve records destroyed or damaged in a 1973 fire were processed in less than 10 days. How about that? Other requests average about 24 days. So think about that. In a month, you might have, you know, somebody's military records. And let me just read you a little note here about that fire. On July 12th of 1973, a disastrous fire in the National Personal Records Center destroyed approximately 16 to 18 million official military personnel files, OMPF. Can you imagine? In the Army, personnel discharge records between November 1912 and January 1960, 80% of those records were destroyed. In the Air Force, personnel discharge between 1947 and 1964, 75% of those were destroyed. No duplicate copies of these records were ever maintained, nor were microfilm copies produced. Neither were any indexes created prior to the fire. In addition, millions of documents had been lent to the Department of Veteran Affairs before the fire occurred. Therefore, a complete listing of the records that were lost is not available. However, in the years following the fire, the NPRC collected numerous series of records referred to by auxiliary records that are used to reconstruct basic service information. The fire. Shortly after midnight on July 12, 1973, a fire was reported at the NPRC's Military Personnel Records Building in St. Louis. Firefighters arrived on the scene only 4 minutes and 20 seconds after the first alarm sounded, entered the building. While they were able to reach the burning 6th floor, the heat and the smoke forced the firefighters to withdraw at 3:15 a.m. in order to combat and contain the blaze. Firefighters were forced to pour great quantities of water onto the exterior of the building and inside through broken windows. The fire burned out of control for 22 hours and took 2 days before firefighters were able to re-enter the building. So, there you have it. All those records. Anyway, pretty interesting little article here. Number three, the entire file. If you're after materials such as clothing issuances, leave requests, or similar documents, you may have to resubmit your request after receiving the OMPF in question. Under a policy outlined at archives.gov, the NPRC provides only copies of key documents, blah, blah, blah. Rush requests. NPRC tasks some of its staff exclusively with high-priority requests, such as veterans facing a medical emergency or family members seeking replacement awards prior to a funeral. That's pretty cool. Pretty impressive. Old actions, new honors. Even service members who retain complete military records from their time of discharge may be missing honors and awards they've earned without realizing it. Sterner cited three examples of high-level honors that came after recipients took off their uniform. And it goes into that. Pretty interesting stuff about the fire. Salvage efforts began immediately, both at the site and via a bulletin that required government agencies to maintain any other records that might be used to reconstruct military personnel files. They continue to this day. About 3,000 requests for records affected by the fire are processed by the center each week. Even if the file you're seeking was entirely lost, that doesn't mean that some of the information it contained can't be recovered. Medical confusion. NPRC officials said outpatient and inpatient medical records can be the most troublesome of the 1 million plus annual requests they receive. If they have the records, they can be obtained via an SF-180 or a veteran request online. Do I need my congressman? The answer, no. 9. Arlington Honors. Full details on burial and interment eligibility at Arlington National Cemetery are available at the cemetery's official website. They include eligibility for service members who received the Medal of Honor, a Service Cross, a Distinguished Service Medal, or a Purple Heart. All that will get you into Arlington. Pretty interesting. You can find that at Military Times right now. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will walk you through the investigations of the McCain and the Fitzgerald. Something I've said I'd do for a while, but I will go ahead and make that happen. So, 8:27 here on a Wednesday. Mike McNamara with you. Gunner's got the day off. Zimbabwe's president is under house arrest for his home protection. The military just cleaning things up a little bit. Just cleaning things up. We'll see. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.